Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
I'm so sorry you have just reached my answering machine.
One of the songs that will be on the Kendall and Casey playlist on Spotify just after noon when we post that up for you. Of course, you can just search it out if you're a Spotify user, yes. Rupert Holmes. I did put a Harry Chapin song in the playlist for you, Rob.
Thanks.
We're all represented.
How exciting. How exciting.
It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC at 1035, 317-684-8444. That's our phone number for your voicemails.
Do you remember last week when we played the audio of the woman from Barstool complaining about men who eat soup?
Yes.
And she said that you're basically a total wimp if you eat soup. And I'd never heard that before and did not know if women actually thought that. Well, our old favorite listener, Gert, called. And Gert, okay, so I did not even know this was a show. You're, again, a little bit more seasoned than Kevin or I, or me. Do you remember a show called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman?
Yes.
For real?
Yeah.
I didn't think you were that many years older than us. You know, anyway.
You know, Rob, they were still landing men on the moon when I was born. I predate barcodes at the grocery store.
I've never heard of this show, and I thought
leaded gasoline.
I thought maybe Gert was having a senior moment or something when she describes this show, but I looked it up, and indeed it is a real show. Wikipedia describes it as a satirical soap opera that aired in daily weeknight syndication from January 76 to July of 77. So you remember this?
I was well on my way. Sure.
Okay.
I was already in school at that point.
Okay, so she, in regards to the soup thing, she references the show, which is a real show, which would, as we've talked about, how old is Gert? One of the great mysteries of the show. This would date Gert a little bit if she distinctly remembers the show. Take a listen.
Hey, people. It's Gert. You're talking about men eating soup on Friday. I know you're all way too young, but maybe you've heard of the kind of a soap opera type program back in the 70s. Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Well, the coach was eating a bowl of soup, and he was supposed to be a manly type man. He fell over into his bowl of soup, might have been chicken soup, and died. So it was not a good thing for him. Look it up. Okay, bye.
Yeah,
okay,
you remember this.
She's talking about Leroy Fetters, and he drowned in a bowl of Mary's chicken soup in the first season.
So you remember this.
Yeah.
So women have been going after men for eating soup ever since the 70s. Things just don't change.
I believe Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, it aired, do you remember the show Soap?
Yes, with Billy Crystal, very early Billy Crystal.
Yeah, it was kind of around that same era.
I had never heard of the show, and I like to think I'm a vintage aficionado, but I'd never heard of the show.
Okay, well, now you got something to look up and research. Thank you, Gert.
Yeah, great. Okay, remember last week when we were talking about somehow Kevin got on that he was talking with somebody, and they randomly started discussing Wabash County.
Right, and said it was the first electrified city?
Yeah, the first electrically lighted city in the world.
How did you get on this again?
So my friend, he works around the state. He does like sheet metal stuff.
Oh, okay, buildings.
So they went to Wabash for the day.
Okay.
And I think they have, I think someone might have told him this, or maybe they have one of those like landmark signs.
Sure, right. Okay. All right, well, that's not nearly as interesting as I thought it was. It's not as interesting as you handing stickers to men at the urinal. But a guy who's actually on the Wabash County Council called the show.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Long time, first time caller, Nick Kopke here. I am from Wabash County. I actually met Rob at the RNC convention last year. He was very nice and kind to me, contrary to what other people would think. But Wabash County was indeed the first electrically electrically lighted city in the world or nation. I'm not entirely sure, but I was recently elected to the Wabash County Council, the Wabash County Council. I took Larissa Sweet's seat. She is a freshman rep down at the Indiana State House. I think you guys should get to know her. I think she's a champion for people like us. So, and I get most of my Indiana political news from you guys. So keep up the good work. Don't make me look stupid. Wow. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, congratulations to him.
So is it in the world or the nation? That's what we need to find out.
It's got to be in the nation.
Yeah, because the world seems like a stretch.
In the nation, you
think? Although we would have maybe been in the world, because didn't we invent electricity here?
Now I've got to do some research on Wabash County, huh?
Didn't we? Let's look into that, because wasn't electricity invented here, right? No?
Yeah, pretty sure.
So if it was here first, clearly it would be in the world, right? It's not like, oh, we invented it here, let's give it to France.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make sense. Yeah, I don't want to sell Wabash short, so maybe we should just do our research.
Let's look it up.
Are you sure it was in the country and not just the state?
No, I think it was in the country.
Yeah, because if it was in the state, that's not
that big a deal.
It's not very impressive.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we'll look it up. Okay. All right. One more phone call. Of course, you mentioned last segment, Casey, the old guys are back out on tour. And John Mellencamp.
Right.
And then obviously Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. Now, I don't mean in any way diminish what John Mellencamp is doing, but Bruce Springsteen is not playing the Auditorium in Bloomington. He's playing like large venues in like Atlanta, Georgia, and Tampa, Florida.
Well, and John Mellencamp, where is he going? He's going down to, I think, Orlando.
Yeah.
He just opened up the tour in Bloomington.
I mean, these two guys are not on the same scale, but that's okay. It's not that big a deal. Anyway, some lady called and she wanted to complain about Bruce Springsteen.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Casey. Love the show. Try and listen every morning. Just want to make a comment on Rob's favorite person, the boss. I don't understand how you, as a patriot, would like him, period. The song Born in the USA is so anti-America, I just don't understand it. Would love for you to play this message on the air and explain it to me. Hope you all have a great day. Kevin, like you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the phone call. Now, Rob Kendall, explain yourself!
We have explained this 9,837,635,932 times.
She's a longtime caller, first-time listener.
But we'll make it...
I know, I did that on purpose.
Yeah,
I'm
thanks.
Glad you
thought
caught
I wasn't
it.
Paying attention, right? So we'll make that whatever number I just threw out 933. Okay, all right, and then I'm done.
Okay,
I've worked at this radio station for 6 years, and it seems like people don't listen.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I have answered this question. Okay, first of all, and Kevin and I talked about this at length in the mentoring session one time. From 1975 to 1985, Bruce Springsteen released 5 of the greatest albums in consecutive order in the history of ever. I would put that 10-year period from 1975 to 1985 up against any artist in the history of music. I'm talking albums sold. I'm talking touring popularity. I'm talking everything. Born to Run, Darkness on the Edge of Town, The River, Nebraska, Born in the USA. The rest of Springsteen's work is not nearly as good. But that 10-year window and those 5 albums stack up against any artist in the history of music. And yes, I'm talking including the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. The dude was the first guy to ever be on the cover of Time and Newsweek in the same week. Okay, that's the first part of it.
Okay.
So the 5 albums alone, boom. Second of all, and I've told this story before. Before I was as mature as I am as an adult today and a pillar of strength in this community, I didn't always have the coping mechanisms that I do as a grown-ass man today. And Bruce Springsteen's music serving as sort of almost a voice from above was almost like the narrator of my life. And that had a very profound and positive impact on my life when I didn't always have the coping mechanisms that I do today. There.
So
Bruce, that's the 9 millionth time I've explained this, but there it was again.
So you sought some salvation in his music. I'm curious, how did you get into that? Because a lot of that music, 1975 to 1985, that predates your existence.
My parents didn't believe in me enjoying things from the present. I had to enjoy things from the past. We also talked about that too, Casey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you like to do a deep dive on that one?
That's why you got into...
Well, I was into old music.
Yeah.
You missed out on the early grunge scene in the early 90s because you were listening to that old music.
I used to listen to like Darkness on the Edge of Town on a loop all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing she did say, and this angers me, Born in the USA is not an anti-American song. It is a song about a soldier who comes home from the Vietnam War, as millions of people did, and were treated very terribly by their country. It is essentially an autobiographical song about a soldier coming home from the Vietnam War, and there was nothing happy about that.
Yeah.
Those were not good times or good lives from the people. And that, so for his people, his age, it is the same way people like me feel about the Iraq War, because that was my generation who went to fight. And it was, in many ways, a mirror of itself, because it was a needless war that didn't benefit America. And the people who went and made the ultimate sacrifice were oftentimes treated very terribly, either in the media or by the politicians or the activists or whatever. And so that just gives me an excuse to play part of Born in the USA because, well, I'm not going to let her get away with that.
Okay, so you're saying that you were interested in his music. Not
cue the music, Casey!
Not from a political sense.
The dead man's talk. First kick it took was when I hit the ground. He end up like a dog that's been beat too much. Do you spend every life just to cover it up? I was born in the USA. I was born in the USA. So they put a rifle in my hands, send me off to a foreign land to go and kill the yellow man.
It's the quietest you've ever been.
I was born in the USA. I was born in the USA.
Just went to another place.
That was beautiful.
That was awesome.
That was so soulful.
That's
never heard
the problem
that
with that song is he made the music too upbeat so people don't understand the words in the song.
Yeah, because it's kind of supposed to sound like a patriotic song, isn't it? But it's really just
Yeah, he totally did that to cash in.
Yeah, he wanted some radio.
Oh yeah,
play.
He took the money.
He wanted someone to play it and it became a
hit. But the lyrics to the song are awesome.
Yeah. All right. It's Kendall and
Hug
Casey.
Hug a veteran today.
On 93 WIBC.